talked to a former Razorback football player from Hot Springs Ranch. He's from your neck of the woods. He went to Fountain Lake High School there in Garland County. Played ball for Ken Hatfield. Right after, he barely missed me. He was 86 to 90, if memory serves me right. But he represents the 4th Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's the chairman of the Committee on Natural Resources. That's why he was with Kevin Costner on Friday. We're just going to find out more details. But good morning, Bruce. How are you this morning?
Doing great, David. Good morning to you. Good to be with you.
Great to have you. Did you realize today was the birthday of our state?
Sure, I did.
Of course. You know, and we were talking about national parks Friday, and Hot Springs National Park was put in reserve in 1832, and then Arkansas became a state in 1836. So we're getting old. Our state is.
Well, that's right. 190 years old. The last time we talked to you, Bruce, you remember, Roger, Bruce was working on the SCORE Act, trying to get college athletics some help with some structure with all the NIL and transfer portal. And I guess that was probably a couple months, three months ago, Bruce, I guess. I want to talk about that. But before we get to that, let's go to Friday. You know, Kevin Costner is no stranger to the state. He's a good buddy of Paul Simmons over at Harding University, and they do a lot of duck hunting. We know he's been in Hot Springs, Roger, because the word is that he's talking about maybe doing some movies there or TV show, maybe putting his museum there. Well, then next thing we know, I see you doing a video with him that you guys had a hearing on all things national parks and a bill you guys are trying to pass. So give us sort of a recap of what Friday was all about in Hot Springs.
Yeah, well, we've got this bill called the Great American Outdoors Act. It was actually signed by President Trump in his first term, but it had a five-year expiration on it. Our sunset on it, and we're trying to reauthorize that, and it being our 250th anniversary of our country, what better time to do it? And as you know, Kevin Costner has a huge love for our federal lands, especially our national parks. He's done documentaries on that. Yeah. And with his connection to Hot Springs, we actually had this set up last October. We had a government shutdown and had to cancel the hearing, so he's been off in Australia filming a movie. And we were able to reschedule the hearing for last Friday. Had a great time. Had a big crowd show up at the Arlington Hotel. We were in the lobby there, converted it into a hearing room. It was live streamed on C-SPAN or broadcast on C-SPAN across the country. A lot of news coverage. So it brought a lot of attention to Hot Springs and to our park. Obviously, having somebody like Kevin Costner there speaking on behalf of the park was a big deal. And we had 8 members of Congress from around the country that are on my committee that came in for the hearing. It was bipartisan. This is a bipartisan issue. So it was a good time, and really appreciate Kevin. He's a great guy, just fun to be around, and, again, has a huge love for our parks and our federal land.
Yeah, Roger, if you went back, and Bruce, if you obviously were there, Roger, you go back and listen to him. He told the story of being a kid. And how that was, his parents would take him, that was the consistency in his life to be able to see those parks. And, of course, I sometimes get mixed up now. The Hot Springs National Park, was it the first national park? I know I get that confused sometimes with Yellowstone.
I think it was. And then from Yellowstone.
Yeah, explain that, where Hot Springs ranks with that time-wise.
So Hot Springs has the distinction of being the first place that the federal government ever put the land in reserve for special uses. So the federal government in 1832 looked at the thermal springs and said, this is a special place. We're going to create a reservation, not like an Indian reservation, but a reservation of land that they're prohibiting any kind of future development and that sort of thing on it. So that was 1832. Fast forward, I think it was 40 years later, when Yellowstone became officially the first national park, and then Hot Springs became a national park in 1920 or 1921, right around that time frame. But it was almost a half century ahead of Yellowstone as being set apart by the federal government as a special place ahead of Yellowstone. So we like to argue and say it was actually the first national park, but technically Yellowstone got the first designation as a national park.
Well, one other thing, too, Bruce, Roger didn't get a chance to go with me, but our good friend Greg and Lee Hatcher have a place in Aspen. They have a home in Aspen, and right down the street is Kevin Costner's place, and he's pushed right up against the national park there, and his land is spectacular. I mean, Roger saw the videos and the pictures. It looked like something off the movie Yellowstone. I mean, it was – so I'm not surprised. I love the fact that he's – you know, he's willing to come in and do that. I'm sure I presume you asked him or invited him that he came in. I think it just shows that I think he likes Arkansas. And
well, and the Westerns that he's done, I mean, that's helped him out a lot.
Yeah.
Because he likes the outdoors. And
beautiful scenery.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Bruce, so that's exciting news. Also, go ahead. One more. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, there's also a sports tie. Think about a lot of the movies that Kevin's done. He's done Field of Dreams, Bull Durham. And then you look at Hot Springs is where Major League Baseball training started, so the sports angle to it during the Hot Springs as well.
Gotcha. Well, I would love for him to do that would be too. Of course, he was, obviously was in Field of Dreams, and you're right. There's so much cool history. I love the fact, Roger, he appreciates Hot Springs. I love that.
Oh, sure.
And he goes duck hunting.
It shows it's authentic, his love for the outdoors and all that is, because to for him to know Hot Springs means that he's done his research and he's not just grabbing something.
And I love the fact that, you know, there may be more to come from him in the state and Hot Springs. Well, let's talk, too, about the score rack for those that don't know. You've been battling it out with your colleagues, trying to figure out what is some legislation that can be passed that can help the mess we have in college sports. And last time we talked to you, you were somewhat optimistic, and then boy, it's just one of those things where you knew what was going to come. It's going to be a fight for a while to get everybody on the same page. Where do we stand now? What's your gut instinct on where this score act is going to go?
Well, we have the SCORE Act in the House, and then we have a bill in the Senate, the Protecting College Sports Act. The two of them are aiming towards the same goal of fixing the NIL problem, but taking different approaches. And I think we'll end up somewhere in between those two. We've had the SCORE Act out there ready to go to the House floor a couple of times, and then something falls apart on it. Senator Tuberville and other senators have been working on this Protect College Sports Act. But I'm thinking back on this, David. I remember Nick Saban was in D.C. while he was still coaching, and I had meetings with him and talking about the dangers of NIL and his concerns about what it was going to do to college sports. So we've been working on this for a couple of years now. And we really need to get off dead center, but it's such a big issue and affects so many, it basically affects every state and every congressional district, so there's a lot of input on it. Coach Cowell in D.C.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Coach Cowell, go ahead.
Yeah, Coach Cowell was in D.C. just a couple of months ago, and you know, when you've got Hall of Fame coaches genuinely concerned about the future of the sport because of what NIL is doing to it, I think we really need to prioritize this more and get something changed. And I've said before, I was opposed to Congress having to regulate college sports. That doesn't sound like a good thing from 50,000 foot view. But since the Supreme Court has, with the decisions they've made, only Congress can fix it. There's not a way that the NCAA or anybody else can fix it because of the Supreme Court ruling on antitrust laws.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's really what kind of legislation can pass the muster when it comes to court cases. I mean, if you can write all the laws you want to, and you keep losing in court, it doesn't matter. That's what's happening now. You're losing every court case, and so. Yeah,
I was just going to say, Bruce, do you think that you're involved in this is because of your sports background as well? Are there congressmen and women who are not interested at all because they have no skin in the game, if you will, as far as athletics and playing sports?
I think if you play college sports, it piques your interest a lot more. But this is such a huge issue that affects all the colleges and universities. It affects a lot of revenue for state. So there's going to be broad interest in it if you whether you like sports or not. But I think
well, you have to educate them. You have to. I mean, you just look at it. Obviously, when you look at like a guy like Tommy Tuberville or some of these others that may be in you know when it comes to, in Congress. They know sports and they know that, but you're going to have to educate some of these people then to say, no, you really want to be involved in this. This is going to affect the colleges of your district, of your state.
Yeah, and, you know, I come at it from a different perspective. I walked on to play football at the university, so I was fortunate I had academic scholarships that paid for my classes, but I was happy just to be there. And to go from that to the kinds of pay that you're seeing some of these players get, which I think they should be compensated. We just have to have some guidelines around it where it's not free agency with no salary caps is essentially what you have in college sports right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, before we let you go, Bruce, we're visiting with Bruce Westerman, a congressman representing the 4th District. Best memory, he was there, Roger, what, 1986 to 1990, you went to the Cotton Bowl. And that with that 1990 team, I think you played on special teams for the most part. You were walk on, but you had great memories. Obviously, I got to play for Coach Holtz and Coach Hatfield, same coach you got to play for. What's maybe your favorite one or two memories being a player up there?
Beating Texas is always a great memory.
You bet.
I remember beating A&M in Razorback Stadium. And they basically told an Aggie joke on themselves because they were walking off the field saying, "We won that game, and all we had to do is point to the scoreboard." They felt like they, got rooked out of the victory or something. But really, in hindsight, David, and I'm sure you experienced this, you look back on things that maybe seem even more special now than they did at the time. And just the people that you were there with, you know, I knew we were playing with some great players like Atwater and Barry Foster and Wayne Martin. But then, you know, a few years later, you see these guys playing on Sunday and making a huge impact. And it I think as time goes on, you realize how special it was to actually be there and be part of the team.
Yeah, there's no question. But I love the quote that I read about that read. I'm going to see if I can find it.
Well, you're looking for that.
Here it is. Go ahead, Roger.
No, I was just going to say that listening to Bruce talk about beating A&M and all that, and we talk about where we've been since Houston left us as the head coach, that has not been the best of times. But there was an article about Frank Broyles over the weekend.
I think it was today, wasn't it?
Well, it was Saturday or Sunday.
Okay,
maybe. And there was a part of it. I think it was Chuck Dykus. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But he had mentioned something. And that's the thing that I remember as a kid growing up with the Razorbacks. There was always, we always, always thought we got a chance to win.
Yeah. I believe we were good enough to win.
No, every game. Every game, whether it be Texas or A&M or whatever, we were always thinking, you know, Texas is always going to be tough. But we were always thinking we were going to win. Didn't matter if it was a bowl game or not. Just hadn't had that feeling for a couple of decades. That's my opinion.
You know, if you look back, the last two conference championships, outright conference championships that Arkansas won was when I was playing back in the Southwest Conference days. That stings to even say that. But
yeah, we won 1990
West title.
Yeah, that's a long time ago to have an outright conference championship. So here's what. So there was a picture, Roger, of Bruce Westerman. I think it's really cool. I'll show it to you, Roger. It's of you on the sideline, and I think you used it in one of your campaigns, and somebody, you know, tried to cause you some problems with it. But it's just you on the sideline. But I love what it says. You said there you didn't get a lot of field time during your 4 years on the team, but that's not why you chose to use that photo of you. It was taken by his roommate's brother. And you said, quote, "To me, that photo tells a story and reminds me all the time, dedication and hard work it took to be a walk-on and an engineering student at the same time. What the photo doesn't show are all the all-nighters I'd pull at the computer lab and then go straight from there to lift weights, eat breakfast, and go to class. And I hardly got to play, but it was worth it, and I would do it again. To get to run through the A and hear the fight song, I think, is every little boy's dream in Arkansas to get to do that." So I thought that was That was pretty cool. I've never seen that quote before, and I didn't know that was related to that photo, but I thought that was that's the truth, buddy. Yeah. To do that as a walk-on, get your engineering degree, and still be a player and be, you know, practicing every day, that's something to be proud of for sure.
Yeah, and you know, David, people ask me all the time, what's it like to be out there? You can't describe it. I think only people that have experienced can truly understand what it's like to come out of that locker room, run through the A with the fight song playing. And, I mean, you really do feel like you could run through a wall at that point.
Well, that's the deal that we, as a Razorback fan, Bruce. I mean, no, I didn't play, but I love the Razorbacks. We were at a guy's house last week with a man cave, and he contributes to the foundation. One of the options that he had, as far as a gift or something that they gave him, I don't know what several of them were, but one of them was to have a huddle of the Razorback and your name on the back of a jersey of
like
a player.
Looks like
you're in there. That's exactly living to be that hog. We all love that helmet.
It's a great idea. Yeah. And I was showing Roger.
Look at that stand.
So I'm showing him the picture of you at the Cotton Bowl. Well, funny thing, those hip pads. Remember back when the hip pads would be come out of your pants and come about 5 inches up? And, of course, I don't know if I had the neck roll. I don't know if you guys had gotten rid of the neck rolls by the time. I think you still had them in the late 80s, right?
Did you earn that part?
Oh, yeah, we had some neck rolls. And, you know, we're in that transition period between the big tube socks and the short socks. So you didn't know whether to wear those socks pulled up or roll them down around your ankle.
Yeah,
we had the pads were a lot more bulky back then.
Oh, they were big. They were big. Well, listen, Bruce, thanks so much for jumping on with us. What a weekend for you.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Kevin Costner. Yeah. You're working with Nick Saban and all these Coach Cal's coming up to hang out with you. Life's good, isn't it?
Yeah, lots of things we need to address, and I just appreciate the opportunity to be part of it and to get to represent my district and the state of Arkansas. It's a huge honor.
Well, keep up the good work, Bruce. Keep us posted on the SCORE Act, and same thing with all the work you're doing over your committee and the outdoors. Job well done. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Roger. Y'all have a great day.